Ticket, are we back?
We are back. So,
we are back. Right. Just checking.
It's a hard lineup here in the Colony today at the One Stop Express on 121, a little bit, I guess, to the east of the Colony and west of the tollway, where they're throwing down all manner of good stuff today, as we said a moment ago. 99-cent Dickie's barbecue sandwiches, free Cokes, two tacos, 99 cents at the Taco Bell, and, of course, all the other great stuff that you might want to pick up while you're here at the One Stop. We also have things to give away, like a couple pair of tickets to Lone Star Park, plus passes to Silk's, the great restaurant out there.
Wow. Well, if you've ever been to Silk's restaurant at Lone Star Park, that's a good place. We're talking about great food.
And did you know they're having another big race at the Texas Motor Speedway this weekend?
I did know that.
And they're having qualifying on Saturday, and the race is on Sunday, and we got tickets for that as well. So if you'd like to come by and try to win those, then come on by here. Also, we got tickets to the Big Joke as well.
So in other words, the ticket has tickets.
Yes,
the
ticket's got tickets out here at the One Stop today. So come on out here and check out the scene. We'll be giving those away as we go out here today. Now, as we said, we got a lot of stuff that we got to touch on. I mean, not only us, but everybody on the crew's got a little something to add into the mix here today, I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm.
For us, it was a very big weekend this past weekend, and I hate it that it came down because Saturday was the biggest sports day ever in the history of the free world as we know it today, and I hate it that we missed that, but we had good reason to, and we had a good place to go to miss it, because the greatness that is HBO sent us up to New York City for the premiere of the new, or I guess not the premiere, but to see ahead of time the new Billy Crystal movie, 61, that was about to come out. Now, I'm still kind of new to New York, and I'm still very overwhelmed by it. This is like my fourth time there.
You like it, though.
Just about every time I've been, you've been. Oh, yeah, I do like it. You know, it's great when you've got somebody up there with you that actually knows their way around. Like
yeah.
The first time we were there, we had both the Laddie and Dallas Maverick with us.
Yeah.
Both of those guys really know their way around it. And then when I was up there this past winter, we had Kitten. She lives there, so she knows her way around it, too. But,
you know, I think if you give me 2 months in New York City, that I could have it down.
Yeah, I think I could, too. It's really not that hard.
It's easy.
Yeah, it's really not that hard.
I mean, everything's either a street or an avenue.
Yeah.
You're talking about Manhattan only?
Yeah.
Well, Manhattan only, but, I mean, why would you want to go anywhere else?
Go to a Yankee game.
That's basically in Manhattan. I mean, it's in the Bronx, but it's just right across the bridge.
Yeah, it's right across the river.
It's not. It's a grid. It's a giant
grid.
That's all
it is. Yeah, it is. Exactly.
And it's like, real easy. I don't think it'd be hard at all. You know, you hear all these horror stories, but I think if you give me 2 months of living in New York City, then I think I could have Manhattan down pretty easy.
Was Big Grego any help? Like Kitten or Gordo or Laddie?
Well, I don't know. We really didn't have to do a whole lot on that front.
It sounded like you didn't have a lot of time for sightseeing.
No, we really didn't. We really didn't. I mean, it was a very full day. You know, the only whole day we were there was Saturday, and HBO had just about every second of that day accounted for.
You know, I think that's the plan for most of the movie studios. I guess that includes HBO. Whenever they send those people out on junkets, they want you to be having fun, or they want you to be entertained 24 hours. You know, as long as you're awake, they want your undivided attention.
Yes,
and they want you to be entertained.
Right,
so
they want you to be doing something that they're sponsoring.
Right.
Mission accomplished from HBO.
But see, the thing about it was, for me, was I was so distracted by New York that I really couldn't focus on any of it except for the movie. I did focus on that. But for just about every other thing we were doing up there, I just wanted to go out and walk around in New York, because New York's a great walking town.
I don't think anybody enjoys that more than you do.
I do.
You love getting out there and just walking.
Well, I mean, you see so much there that you don't see.
I mean, you wanted to walk home in the rain.
Yes, I did.
It was raining.
I did.
You wanted to walk home in the rain.
I did. We got there like Friday night about, I guess we must have rolled in, 1:30 or 2 or so?
2 in the morning.
And even then, I just couldn't give it up.
Yeah, you went out and walked that night.
Yes, I did. It was raining, and that didn't stop me. I went out and I just had to get out there and see what was shaking out there on the streets of old New York.
You know, it's a city that never sleeps.
It is a city that never sleeps. And it's just great.
I'm proud of you for that.
Are you?
Yeah, because a lot of people just, you know, hole up in their hotel room and never leave and then get out the next day and go do what they're told to do. And
that would be me.
Well, because you don't like New York.
No, I do. No, see, that's a misconception. I like New York. I really do.
I mean, if you're there, you might as
you like it like I like
no,
it.
No, I don't think anybody likes it like you do. Maybe Truman Capote.
Well, Gordon does. Gordon does. He likes it like I. He likes it more than I do.
I mean, I think it's neat because there is not a better people watching place in the world than to get out there on one of those New York streets and just start walking the blocks.
Yeah,
I mean, there's
or
not.
Get on the train. I love to get on. This past winter, we rode the train just about everywhere. And the neat thing to do was just get on the train, just pick a stop, get off, and walk around there. Because there's always something to see. There's always something going on. And you're never going to get lost because you can always just get back on the train, figure out where you are, where you need to be. It's not that difficult. Now, how many of you boys have been to New York? Have you been, Corby?
Yeah, I've been 4 or 5 times.
How about you, Danny Paul?
He is not here, but I know he's been. He's in there producing.
Yeah, and I know the Expo's been a time or two.
Yeah, I've been once.
You know, every time I go, I just can't imagine what keeps the thing from just collapsing under its own heft. I mean, it's just so big, and there are so many people. And
you know what amazes me more than anything? Where does all that trash go?
That's exactly what I was getting ready to say.
And how can you get water to that many buildings?
Clean water.
Yeah.
See, that's the thing. The whole thing is just so big that it's like a shark. It's got to keep moving all the time or else it'll just die.
Or clog up.
Yes, it'll just clog up.
But you know, think about how many people are on just Manhattan.
And think of everybody. Consequently, millions.
Yeah. You're right on that one, Dion. But just think if everybody threw away one piece of trash a day. Just one.
Yeah.
Can you imagine how much trash that would be? And of course, everybody throws away a lot more than that.
And I don't think recycling is a big player up there. I know it has to be, but I don't remember it recalled ever being when I've been up there in the past. You know, I don't see different tins sitting outside of restaurants, or I think it's all just one big smorgasbord, and it's dump it out in the sea.
And on trash day, you're walking around out there, nobody's got their trash out there on the curb and stuff because there aren't any alleys or anything like that.
Yeah.
God,
there are a lot of things. You know what else gets me more than anything? Like, if you go to a restaurant in Dallas, the wait staff are going to be young kids. But if you go to a restaurant in, like, Manhattan, it's all older people are the waiters and waitresses.
Because that's a profession.
I know.
Yeah, it's a profession. And they've all been doing it for years.
And they're good at it.
Yes.
Man, I disagree.
Oh, I think there's the best service in the world in New York.
I disagree. I think they're
really?
So unfriendly compared
to... Well, yeah, they're unfriendly, but it's good service.
I've never met an unfriendly New Yorker. Every time I've ever been there, everybody I've talked to up there has just been great.
Well, I'm not stereotyping.
That's stealing your wallet.
I don't carry one, sir. They get a bad rap.
I agree, but I'm just saying the service in Texas is better than most states.
I don't think so. Well, I don't think it's as good as it is there because, you know, there they're not going to have any, you know, small talk and chit-chat, but they will get your food out and they will get you your bill because all they want to do is get you in and get you out. And I am for that. I am for, and they always get your food to you quick.
Well,
to me, that whole city is I equate it to Vegas. Give me about 3 days or 4 days and get me out. And I have a great time while I'm there, and I'll blow it out or whatever, and I'll be up at 6 a.m. and wander the streets forever and do what there is to do. But then, you know, after 72 hours, I want out. I want to come home.
See, there is not a time that I've been there that when it's been time to leave, I've been ready to leave.
And I don't understand anything compared to Vegas, because in Vegas there's about 3 things to do. And in New York, you could not run out of things to do in New York.
If I had a good enough job and make good enough money, I think I could live there, and I think I'd like it.
Boy, I don't know if I
could.
New York, yeah. I think I could live there and like it. I think it would take getting used to, because I've had a car since I was 15 years old. And you can't have a car.
See, I'm surprised by this.
No, I am too, man.
No,
Greg has amazed us all with his abilities to adapt in the past.
No, I think I could. I think I'd like that. I think I'd like that, you know, urban living.
There's not a chain restaurant.
But you'd have to do it right.
I don't know if I would like to live there, but boy, it's...
You'd have to have a job making a lot of money.
Yeah, you would. I don't know. I don't know if I'd like to live there. I think that eventually it just all kind of start closing in on me and make me crazy. But as far as a place to go hang out for a few days goes and a place to just walk around and see people and see stuff that you just don't see any other place, man, you can't beat it. You just can't beat it.
You know what I did that was funny? I picked up a real estate magazine. Just to look at.
Yeah.
I started looking at, like, lofts and apartments
right.
on Fifth Avenue and Park Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so funny, just in their very cavalier attitude, you know, 1,400 square foot, two bedroom, 1.5 bath, mm-hmm. $3.8 million.
Yeah.
Good God.
Yeah. $3.8 million.
Now, we took a bus. Now I'll tell you about the basic lay of... Well, I'll tell you what. Let's do that next. We'll tell you about...
Yeah, because I want to hear all about your junket.
Okay.
You know, as compared to what I went through with, I think it was New Line Cinema.
Oh, see, I don't think this was a junket, though. We'll talk about that next.
Okay.
This wasn't really a junket.
All right, 350 here on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket, the hard line out here in the colony today, which is quite a bit different, we must say, from old New York. Right now, here's The Ticket ticker.
Brought to you by Dice.com and by Toyota of Dallas. Since the Mavericks have played a playoff game, we can stop whipping you, I guess, with that first time in 11 years, yada, yada, yada. So tonight, it's game two between the Jazz and the Mavericks. It is the first game two in the playoffs for the Mavs in 11 years as they visit the Jazz needing a win as they can't afford to go down 0-2. However, young Stevie Nash points out...
Well, obviously, it's not a must-win game, so we still play again if we don't win this one, but, you know, we definitely plan on winning it. And it'll put us in a good position if we still win up there.
For those of you that are pessimistic about the chances of winning tonight's game after Game 1 slipped through the Mavs' fingers on Saturday, then I'll just go ahead and tell you that five teams have come back from 0-2 deficits to win in the NBA playoffs, most recently the Nuggets against Seattle in 94. Utah is a tough team to beat at home. For example, the Jazz went 4-1 last year at the Delta Center. Also tonight, Indiana plays Philly. That's in Philly. The Pacers beat the Sixers there in Game 1 on a late three by Reggie Miller on Saturday. Stars and Blues series schedule is set. Game 1 Friday night at Reunion at 6. Game 2 Sunday at 6:30. Rangers are in Canada playing the first of two tonight against the Blue Jays. And that's The Ticket ticker. It is brought to you by Sam Goody. It's nonstop action and laughs in the Jackie Chan Western with a kick. Shanghai Noon Bonus Edition from Touchstone Pictures. It's available now on VHS at Suncoast and a mall near you. I'm Mark Followell, reminding you to remember the time you spent listening to The Hardline late afternoons.
Imagine sinking into the cushion of a brand new seat. Cold beer in one hand. Fresh hot dog in the other. You're inside the brand new American Airlines Center. Stars. Man. American Airlines and The Ticket puts you there. Looking for your name this afternoon at 4:20.
If you're a president of duty for a fight and for Scotland, what's your fate or it's your own fight?
Oh, really? Good.
That's very good.
You fight for Scotland. Good.
No, I fight for Scotland.
Oh, you wouldn't? Okay. All right.
The Ticket's Drop Page Radio and William Wallace of the Scottish Free Press, as played by Corby Davidson. Fighting for Scotland seems to be what he's most concerned about. You're listening to Ticket Drops and Ticket Bits while everybody else that's getting a broadcast signal is listening to local Dallas-Fort Worth commercials. I am O.D., Officer of the Drops. And here's another one from the Emergency Break of the Week Hall of Fame featuring Norm Hitzkus on the Tickets Drop Page Radio.
All right, once again, listen for the elaborate setup on the setting of the game that Summerall called and then the panic and the silence when Norm finds out the game actually was in Jacksonville.
Pat, whenever you go around, depending on the site of the game, I mean, let's face it, 91 celebrities don't turn out in Indianapolis for the game. I mean, it's a nice place and everything, but it's, you know, it's not the place to see and be seen in this world. But now Washington, Pat. You were at Washington. Who do you bump into there? Who's at the game? Who are your friends? I mean, Washington's a place to see and be seen these days with the Redskins playing well.
We were in Jacksonville.
Well, that's right. I'm sorry, Pat. The game was in Jacksonville.
Well, Fernando, what are the standings?
Boy, I'm telling you what, he is the Yankees of e-brakes. Norm, in just over 6 months, has seven. He is now in second place, only one behind Gen X Davey Lane.
Wow. Man, that's impressive.
He is Derek Jeter.
He is. Oh, gosh.
Swing it around.
Well, congratulations again to Norm for winning the emergency break of the week.
The ticket drop page radio.
Fair enough. Quentin Spotwood, a New York Giants, here with me, Gordon Keith, and along with William Wallace from the Scottish Press. Quentin, football, pro, con?
It's a football is good. It's a business, I mean, but it's like this game right here for some of the guys is a dream come true. I mean, once you block out all the business aspect of it, I mean, I think it's still a wonderful game.
The Tickets Drop Page Radio. It's what we do for our internet P1s while our local P1s are entertained by our friendly, generous, and loyal advertisers. I'm your host, the Officer of the Drops. You can call me OD. Send me an email to request drops and bits that you'd like to hear on the Tickets Drop Page Radio. Coming up, everything from Johnny Oates to Jerry Jones, June Cleaver, and even Princess Leia from Star Wars. Also, a visit from the Laddie on the way. But first, here's Fernando on the Tickets Drop Page Radio.
Hey, who are you calling a ho?
Start of message. I am the wife of the Bob Sturm Show. He is my husband, and have you know. He has no hair, but that is okay. I like to hear in you.
Another one within a couple of thousand of that price. It's only at Luke Riley Honda. Campbell Road exit off 75 in Richardson.
The American Airlines Center Hoops and Hockey Hookup is on. Details at theticket.com. Your next chance to win with a hard line at 420 on Sports Radio 1310. The Ticket.
356 here on Sports Radio 1310. The Ticket. The hard line here. Good afternoon, everybody. Hey, tomorrow we're going to be in Garland at Prestige Ford, which is on LBJ and Garland Road. We'll be there with the presentation from 3 until 7. Hopefully everybody will make it a point out that way to join us, because it's another place we don't get to all that much.
And a lot of P1s in Garland, tons of them. So we expect all of you to come out tomorrow.
All right, we're talking a little bit about our New York scene this weekend. What a big time it was. We were up there for HBO. They were screening the new movie 61, which Billy Crystal directed. And we'll talk about that probably pretty extensively here in a bit. But first, we have to tell you all about the scene in New York and just what the whole thing was like. As we said a moment ago, we got there about 1:30 or so Friday morning and took a cab to the hotel. Now, that was by far the nicest hotel I've been in any of my forays into New York.
Very nice hotel.
Yes. Excellent.
We walked in that hotel, and they had the beds turned down with a robe on it.
Yeah. So that was pretty cool. Pretty cool. Then the next day, up first was a trip to Yankee Stadium for a little Yankees-Red Sox action. Now, at this time, we didn't really have too much of a handle on, you know, where we were or what this was all about. We didn't know who else was going to be in this thing with us. And they had this bus to take everybody over to Yankee Stadium from the hotel.
Big, nice bus.
And we got down there, and we quickly learned that we were going to be in the company of numerous people who do about the same thing we do.
Oh, no.
In other markets.
Tell me it wasn't like the Radio Row at Super Bowl with the just gaggle of dorks.
Well, I won't say it was like that, but it was not unlike it either.
Ugh.
And there were, you know, quite a few people that we had, a few people anyway, that we'd seen before and been around before, some of which who were out at the thing in Phoenix, as things turned out. And a couple of whom worked for stations that we interfaced with at the Super Bowl, but none of the same guys, but it was that kind of thing. So
no Nasty Nester?
No, Nasty Nestor was not a player on this.
No, they invited people from major markets.
Mike Norris?
No, but his little buddy was there.
Yeah, his morning guy was there.
Did you touch his neck?
No, but we talked about that.
You did?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think the morning guy came out there. I don't think he and Mike North get along real well.
Oh, really?
I don't. That was the kind of vibe I received from him.
Of course, I don't know. I can imagine why people might not get along with this guy. I mean, after he told us who he was, we started talking to him a little bit. About 5 minutes into the conversation, he began discussing the specifics of his contract, which...
Are you kidding?
No!
Yeah.
I mean, I had no real need to know nor any interest in that.
KTCK, Dallas-Fort Worth. KTBK, Sherman-Denison.
And if anybody remembers that Chris Domino guy...
Oh, yeah.
...from Atlanta, who one year when we were on vacation and the laddie was there, the laddie was so taken by this guy that he flew him in from Atlanta to... substitute for a day.
Basically audition.
Yeah, basically audition, just to, I guess, scare us all a little bit, show us how it's really done. He was there, too. It's kind of a blowhard. So that's pretty much what we were in the midst of.
Not a lot of women?
Well, some of them brought wives and or gumas or whatever. You know?
Yeah.
So anyway, we get on this bus, and we start heading for Yankee Stadium. And, hey, that was all right with me. You know, we're driving through New York. We're going to be driving down the streets of it, and I'm totally cool with that. You know, just sit there and look out the window at it all. And I can do that for hours on end in New York. Grego said that a good thing to do in New York would be to just go up there sometime, get a driver, get in the car, and say, I want to see every inch of this place.
And just drive around.
Yeah, drive around. I can do that.
You know what? I could spend 8 hours in a car just driving around there.
Yeah, easy. I could do that. I could do that very easily. And I was amazed at how quickly he got to Yankee Stadium.
He went all the way down Madison Avenue.
Yes.
Right through the deepest part of Harlem.
Yes. And, boy, Harlem happens quickly in New York, too.
I mean, you're all of a sudden you're in these big executive office buildings and, you know, nice designer shops. And the next thing you know, you see a we cash check place.
One minute it's Giorgio Armani, and the next second it's check cashing or bail bonds or some such. Anyway, he gets us to Yankee Stadium. And we're going in there amidst all the New Yorkers and stuff. And Yankee Stadium, as Grego says, is just like right on the confluence of the Bronx and Harlem. I mean, it's just like right there.
Right on the East River.
Yeah. And they don't have too much of a neighborhood scene around Yankee Stadium, do they? I mean,
there's a neighborhood.
Yeah, there's
and Stan owns it.
Yeah, there's a neighborhood, and everything is Stan's this and Stan's that.
Whoever Stan is a big player.
But it's not really the kind of place that you much want to hang out in.
It ain't Highland Park, though.
No, it's not.
Like, do they have parking? No.
There's very little parking.
You basically bus yourself in.
Well, you ride the train.
Well, that's what I mean, one way or another.
Yeah, it's like Fenway. You ride the train pretty much.
No, I didn't see any parking at all. I mean, I'm sure there's a parking lot around there somewhere, but I didn't see it. I'll tell you what we did, though. We had a bus driver that did one of the greatest backing parking jobs I've ever seen.
Yes.
I mean, there was room for a bus, okay, Corby?
Yeah.
And he got it in there. Like, parallel parked this
like
bus.
One of those dudes that parked those big NASCAR trucks.
I thought, oh, now he's not going to try to back this up.
And rivaled that.
And parallel parked this.
Yes.
And he did, and it was like perfect.
I mean, it was straight out of driver education.
You know, I couldn't have parked a Yugo in there, and he's parking this big bus.
And then how far do you have to walk? Did he park right next to the stadium?
We probably had to walk 5 or 6 blocks, and it's pretty close.
But, hey, you're walking amongst New Yorkers who are going to the great game, so it's fun.
Yeah. A lot of baseball talk.
Yes, a lot of baseball talk. We get in Yankee Stadium, and we start looking for our seats, and if we couldn't find them anywhere, and the reason for that was that HBO had rented out the Elston Howard suite.
Nice.
It was funny because there's like no ushers there. We couldn't find anybody to tell us where to go.
Yeah, well, I mean, we asked one guy, but he didn't know.
He goes, yeah, it's just right down there. And we go, no, it says row one. He goes, well, row A, row one, it's the same thing. Go down there and sit down.
And no, it's not the same thing. And because this was Yankees Red Sox, the old stadium in the Bronx was very sold out on this day. I mean, it was very difficult to find a seat, get a ticket, anything like that. So anyway, we finally found out that we were indeed in a suite, in the Elston Howard suite. We go in there, and that's where we started watching the game a little bit. And you know what? I hate to say this because everybody out there is going to get all over me about being ungrateful, but I was a little disappointed we were in a suite. I was kind of hoping we'd be out there amongst the masses for this game.
Was the window open of the suite?
Yeah, the windows were open, but
you did not get the feel.
Yeah, you really couldn't get any of that Red Sox-Yankees flavor.
And this was a game that, I mean, there was a lot of action going on out there.
And, you know, there we were in the suite. And, you know, I mean, it was nice and everything like that.
Oh, it was great.
Don't misunderstand. But, you know, I wanted to check out a Yankees-Red Sox game and just see what that was all about, because that's one of the very few rivalries in baseball that you really hear about that's really something special when they hook up. I mean, you know, you have Giants-Dodgers, you have Cardinals-Cubs, and you have Yankees-Red Sox. That's really about it.
And Yankees-Red Sox clearly on the top of those rivalries.
Yeah.
And it was hard to get into the game, really, because everybody in there were sports people, and they were more interested in the draft on TV.
Yes. They had TVs
really
going in there, and the draft on ESPN was on all of them. And you know, it was really just kind of very difficult to focus on what was going on the game.
They were more focused on Corin Robinson going to the Seahawks.
I envision you guys sitting in the suite trying to watch the game, and every other guy in there is basically doing his own show during the game.
That's pretty much what it was. That's kind of what it was.
And didn't you have?
And they really didn't dig it when I went over there and changed the TV and put it on the Maverick.
I was going to say, weren't their basketball games going on at the same time?
But they were into their draft.
Now, you had a guy in Chicago, the guy from Chicago, who was very concerned with what was going on with the Bears and what they were going to do with that number 8 pick. You had the guy from Atlanta who was just ecstatic, like Chris Domino, who was ecstatic over Michael Vick and all that, and just various other people who were interested in what was up with their own team. And they weren't too terribly interested in Yankees-Red Sox. They didn't much care about getting that Yankees-Red Sox-Yankee Stadium flavor like we did.
Well, were you guys sitting near the window, or were you back in the couch area watching the
game? Three or four different places.
Yeah, you know, I mean, they have rows, but everybody was, you know, up, and they were walking around, they were schmoozing and everything, and
had great food and drinks in there, I'll tell you that.
You know, it was just kind of one of those things, and, you know, poor Yankee Stadium, you know, with all due respect to the old ball yard in the Bronx, a suite at Yankee Stadium is not like a suite out at the Temple, is it?
It's nice, but it's a lot smaller.
Yeah, I mean, they do the best they can with that, but I'll tell you, if there is one team in baseball that needs a new ballpark, it is the Yankees.
So they don't have the option, like at the ballpark, so you can sit in the suite or sit in the stands?
No. If you're in the suite, you are inside in the suite. You can't be in the suite but watching it outside. You don't have that option.
But there is no telling, because there's not very many of these suites. And there is no telling how much money that costs for this game.
Oh, I know. There's no doubt about it.
And again,
I don't want to be an ingrate here.
Well, I don't either, because, I mean, they took care of us, but we did not get the flavor of a Yankees-Red Sox game. But we did get a lot of free food and free drinks.
Yeah, we got that flavor. But as far as Yankees-Red Sox, we didn't get too much of a feel for that until along about the middle innings, when I just couldn't stand it anymore and I had to go out and walk amongst the crowd once again. And a very unusual thing happened out there at that point.
Now, you'd already made a purchase that morning. You'd already gone out to one of those electronic places, and you bought you a Walkman.
Yes, I had. I'd already purchased a small transistor radio because I wanted to hear the fine work of Jam Master Jay and Michael Kay, John Sterling and Michael Kay, the Yankees radio crew, who were actually quite good, I must say.
They were real good.
So I was sitting there listening to them and, you know, just trying to follow the game, trying to talk a little bit every now and then to my fellow revelers in the suite, trying to keep an eye on Grego, seeing what he's up to and seeing how much fun he was having and all
that.
And
listening to the guy from Chicago talk about how much money he made.
Right, and just... stipulations of incentive clauses in his contract.
And how he's got a non-ethnic clause in there. I thought that was kind of funny.
That's crazy.
That's the craziest thing ever. But remember that. We might want to use it someday.
We might. Anyway, I couldn't stand it anymore along about the fourth or fifth inning, and I just had to get out and mingle amongst my fellow revelers at Yankee Stadium. And I'll tell you what happened then next. 4:10 here on Sports Radio 1310, the ticket. It's the Hard Line at the one stop up in the Colony, where Grego, they dropped unleaded to $1.39 a gallon.
Well, that right there is reason enough to come out here.
Now, didn't we do one of these things before where
yes,
they did something crazy like that?
Yeah, we had everybody get into a gas war bid. You know, we need to do that again. That's a good idea.
All right,
now $1.39, you're not going to beat that anywhere in town.
Yes, it's on 121, a little bit to the west of the tollway up here in the Colony. Unleaded, $1.39 a gallon. Try beating that. Let's do a ticket ticker right now with Mark Folliwell.
And it is brought to you by Bank United and K-Star Channel 49 with the Mavs play the Jazz tonight at 9:30. Mavs were oh so close to winning Game 1 in Utah with Game 2 tonight. Another close game is likely, and it would probably help the Mavericks to have the veteran presence of Nelly on the bench for the stretch. He got ejected midway through the fourth quarter on Saturday, something he vows won't happen tonight.
I'd never seen a veteran crew like that give a coach a second one for as little as I said about that call. But, you know, I'll be more careful. I want to stay in the game. There's no question about it. I like to be around.
Tonight's game will also be on KLIF at 9:30, and check out Mavs Overtime afterwards. Rangers make a five-game road trip this week to Toronto and Cleveland. The first two games are tonight and tomorrow, north of the border, where the Blue Jays they've started the season strong at a 12-7 clip. Gabe Kapler is back for the Rangers after he hurt a quad muscle in spring training. He had a 1-for-3 on Sunday and told Bad Radio today on the ticket that he is 100%.
Yeah, it's a good feeling to feel confident and feel like you can really push off hard and go hard and not feel any ill effects.
Today's Four Star Telegram reports that Randall Cunningham is set to sign with Baltimore as the backup to Elvis Gerbach. He wanted to stay with the Cowboys, but he said there just isn't enough cap room. And if you're interested in the start times for the Stars and Blues second-round series, I'll give you the first couple Friday night at 6 at Reunion, Sunday night at 6:30. And that's the Ticket Ticker this time around, brought to you by Whataburger, just like you like it. I'm Mark Folliwell, reminding you to remember the time you spent listening to The Hardline late afternoons on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. Now here's Nikki again to look at the ticket, stick it up your tailpipe traffic.
Well, guys, on this gorgeous afternoon in Dallas, LBJ is really the only road making headlines right now. Two problems. They're both on the westbound side. There's a wreck on the shoulder at Josie. And on the westbound side of LBJ, there's a crash. It's in the left lane at Josie. That one's slow from the tollway. So there's a one on the shoulder and one on the left. So avoid westbound LBJ. And in Arlington, southbound 360 is slow from Green Oaks to Abram. This report is brought to you by Scarborough Fair Renaissance Festival. Don't miss this weekend's thrilling Highland Games at Scarborough Fair Renaissance Festival, with competitors from throughout the country, bagpipes, music, and fun for the whole family. With the tickets, stick it up your tailpipe traffic. I'm Nikki Granville.
I listened to you on the radio and just thought I'd call in and visit with you about this little debate you had.
Well, let's do it.
When the Cowboys owner and GM Jerry Jones wants to talk football, he calls the team.
Hey, you know the most important thing that makes the draft in.
What?
All great men are born on October 13th.
Oh, my God. Get off my radio station.
You guys.
Get off.
Listen. The original, all-local, all-day, all-sports radio station. Sports Radio 1310. The Ticket.
www.theticket.com.
Should you happen to be in the market for a new automobile, if you are thinking about purchasing one, don't. Don't until you make this one phone call to 234-1234. That's AutoFlex Lease's number. Say the number with me again, 234-1234. Talk to AutoFlex Leasing about leasing your car as opposed to buying. Now, it may not be for you. It's not for everybody. Nothing is. But then again, it may be. If you're the kind of guy who spends a lot of time in your car, you're in that more high-tone realm of sales, if you're the kind of guy who likes to get a new car every couple years as a matter of course anyway, then leasing is something you definitely need to check out if you haven't already. Autoflex is the place to get it done. They can get you the kind of car you want at about the price you want to pay for it, and you can do the whole thing over the phone if you know where you're going. The number again, 234-1234.
We're going so far.
You know, turning 54 and just trying to remember the good things and trying to forget about the back aches and the sore joints and the snow monkeys.
Oh, no. Snow monkeys. Are they still giving you a problem?
Yeah, we're trying to clean up a bit of a mess right now down here.
Not an Alvin.
Yeah. They, a couple nights ago, they broke into my smokehouse and stole a ham.
Oh.
Yeah. And they threw it to the windshield of my truck. They took my truck and pushed it off into the pond. And they broke into my bedroom and got me in a figure four. And they took turns sticking their ass in my face.
Oh, no. Sounds like you need to use that deer rifle for something else.
Yeah, I wish I could have gotten to it because it was pretty humiliating. And one by one, they'd get up and squat over my face and then see my first hounds.
Did they do anything else over your face?
No. Anyway, I gotta get back to this breakfast. But you guys come on down here tonight if you want some of that food. And we're gonna have some gazelle meat ice cream too. So.
Oh well, I don't know if I'll be down there. But happy birthday, Nolan.
All right, good morning.
Ten-inch wiener.
I'm Dr. William Booth. Bob and Dan's personal surgeon for their LASIK surgery. I never listened to Bob and Dan, the bad boys, on bad radio.
The Ticket's Drop Page Radio, and he will do some eye surgery on you, Dr. Booth. He's one of those friendly advertisers that we spoke about earlier. You know, the ones whose commercials you're not hearing right now. We've interrupted the live stream, and while Dallas-Fort Worth listens to commercials, the Internet listens to the Ticket's Drop Page Radio.
A one, and a two, and a three. Hey, it's me out with the ball. It's me out with the crowd. I'm just going to be there to thank you, Jack. I don't care if I ever get there. I'm going to throw up from the whole city.
The Ticket Drop Page Radio.
Norman, you dress like a slob. It seems you force Frazier Maxwell out of the job. You like Preston Dodge and Ramjack in a steakhouse called Bob. Norman, it's been 25 years. It's a wonder that you still buy all your clothes from Sears. Why's that book of yours, Rich? I think the answer's pretty clear. Norm. A big fat Norm. Norm.
Hi, this is Andy, and Norm wanted me to tell you that you're listening to Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
The Ticket's Drop Page Radio. I'm your host, the officer of the drops, the oddly demented, the older dude, the overdone. Oh, dear. You think we could just shorten it to OD? When emailing me, begin by saying, hey, OD. And that email address can be obtained from the drop page at theticket.com. Here's the Bad Radio Singers with one we call Bad Radio Beach Boy Theme on The Ticket's Drop Page Radio.
Call toll free to get connected. 1-866-869-9696 or visit us at XO.com. XO, not just talk.
The American Airlines Center Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket. Hoops and hockey hookups.
He's got a
mouth.
You got your ticket head card out. You're looking at it, playing with it.
And if you are Raymond Clark, this is a good day for you. Raymond Clark of Dallas, we are looking for you. And you've got 13 minutes and 10 seconds to call us on the one-ball line at 214-787-1225. to claim a pair of tickets to see a Stars and Mavs regular season game in the new American Airlines Center, Raymond Clark of Dallas, call the one ball line now at 214-787-1225. Now, we didn't call your name this time. If your name is something other than Raymond Clark, then be sure you're listening tomorrow morning at 7:20 with Dunham and Miller. And don't forget, Thursday morning at 7:20, you can win season tickets to every Stars and Mavs game of the 2001-2002 season. But right now, Raymond Clark of Dallas, call me.
Listen May 17th to win the Hoops and Hockey Hookup Grand Prize of four premium season seats on the Platinum level of American Airlines Center. Purchase your Platinum seats by calling 214-221-TEAM or log on to AmericanAirlinesCenter.com.
Sportsman here on Sports Radio 1310, the ticket with the hard line. Tomorrow we're out in Garland. Prestige Ford is where we will be at the LBJ and Garland Road. The big Ford store in Garland. So join us there. We'll have the presentation from 3 until 7, Prestige Ford, tomorrow. All right, now we got at least a couple more segments on our New York sojourn to go because there just so much happened on this thing. And we're in Yankee Stadium now. We're watching the Yankees and the Red Sox. And I really wanted to check out what happened when these two teams get together, because it's one of the things that you hear about in the great game, that it's really something special. And so we're in the suite. You can't very well do that. Along about the fourth or fifth inning, after noticing that no matter what happened down on the field, it drew cheers because there are a lot of Red Sox fans there. I decided that what I was going to do was go out in the stands and just try to grab a seat somewhere and just sit and watch a few innings. But, you know, the game was sold out. It was very crowded at Yankee Stadium, and I didn't want to just, you know, look where I saw just one seat and grab that because, you know, who knows where that is, whose that is. You might run across the kind of New Yorker that we always hear about when you try that. So I was kind of walking along the upper deck just looking for small pockets of empty seats. And I'm walking down on the bottom row of the upper deck at Yankee Stadium. There is very little room to walk on that thing. I mean, you're just about walking in front of people. And the upper deck at Yankee Stadium is very, very steep.
And very high.
Yes, it is high, it is steep. And there's just not much room to do too much moving around in that thing. So I'm walking around, and finally I locate a pocket of seats, and I've got my eye on that. I'm going to go over there and just see if I can, you know, squeeze into one of those, watch a few innings, and then go back to the suite. And on the way there, this guy jumps out in front of me and goes, "Well, hello, Wolf, what are you doing here?" And I must give a shout-out to that man today. His name is Steve, and he's a friend of Danny Paul's.
What?
He knows Danny Paul. Is Danny Paul in there?
Yeah, I'm right here. Is this Steve, the guy that's making the baseball documentary?
I don't know. He didn't say anything about making a baseball documentary.
Did he have a beard?
Yeah, kind of.
That's him.
And he is a friend of your keyboard player.
Yes, Carter.
Yes. Well, this was him.
Yeah, he's... You know, he was down at Port Charlotte when we were at spring training, and he's working on a 30-minute documentary.
Oh, he is?
Yeah, and he got a Wade Boggs interview down there, and basically he's doing all this without any type of press credentials.
Hey, we've got the Wade Boggs interview to end all Wade Boggs interviews.
Yeah, he's doing all this without any type of press credential.
Well, he jumped out and started talking. I said, "Hey, would there by chance be any seats about where you're sitting?" He says, "Yeah, come on up." So I go up there with him. There was some girl sitting there, and he just pretty much rooted her out.
So, that's a guy stadium, man.
Yeah, it is. It is. So I sat there and watched a few minutes of Yankees Red Sox with them.
Did he whip your ass?
No, not at all.
Good.
And thanks to him, I was able to get a little of that flavor of Yankees Red Sox that I had so sought. And, boy, it was something. Yankees and Red Sox fans were just giving it back and forth to each other up in the upper deck all day long. And then a couple of Nookie girls happened to stand up.
Well.
And that got everybody.
Because there's not very many there.
No, there are not.
I mean, if you're a Nookie girl and you go to Yankee Stadium, you can happen. Because you're going to be a one of very few.
Yes.
I've noticed.
You're going to be in a very distinct minority.
You know one thing, and I do love New York fans. I mean, they are not, you know, just over the top and abrasive.
Yes, they are.
But when they finally had it with their team, I mean, they're the most passionate, loyal fans there are. But when they've had it, then they'll turn on you immediately.
When they recognize that it's a lost cause, they will give it up.
Yeah, and then they will just go full circle. And so the bullpen was just horrendous that day. It was bad. And so when it became apparent that the Red Sox were going to beat the Yankees in Yankee Stadium, the whole crowd, 54,000 people, started to chant, "Bullpen sucks. Bullpen sucks."
Wait a minute. How many World Series have they won in the last 5 years? Four?
Four.
Four. And they're bitching about their team.
Yes, they will. They will turn on that team in a second.
Did they turn on Mike Mussina because he got beat right by Castillo for the second time in a week?
Well, they didn't really turn on him too much. They weren't real happy with him. There was a lot of grumbling, but it was the bullpen that came in.
And that game got out of hand pretty early. And Torrey started using all of his bullpen spares. El Duquecita made his major league debut in that game. And then we were treated to the fine work of Randy Choate. So you had those guys. I mean, he didn't use Stanton, and he didn't use, you know, the other guy, the good guys that he's got out there, the guys that he used when he's actually got a chance to win games.
He used Mendoza.
He did?
Yeah.
Well, he ran El Duquecita out there and Randy Choate, and that's a pretty good indicator that it's kind of a lost cause.
Learn how to play with it. But didn't that kind of amaze you?
Sure. But hey,
they won't put up with mediocrity.
No, they won't. I mean, they're schooled by the leering press up there in New York. They all kind of feed off of each other.
The difference is they'll turn on their team, but they'll still show up for games.
Oh, yeah, they will. That's what makes them great fans.
And they'll be back the next day, and when they win,
they're back on board again.
You know, I don't know if that's a good fan or a bad fan. I know I like that because, I mean, they're sending the message, hey, we're not going to put up with it. I mean, if you get out there and suck, you know, I don't care how many World Series you've won in the past 5 years.
But see, I think it's a good fan because they stay with them.
Yeah.
You know, they send
Nobody leaves.
Yeah, they send the message that, look, we don't like what's happening here, and we're not going to put up with it, but we're going to stay with you. You know, you're our team, you're our guys, and even though we don't like what's happening, you're still our guys.
And they have what's called a field club seat, which are right on the field. And those are pretty expensive seats. And it was so funny because it started raining toward probably about the seventh or eighth inning, and all those people that were on those field club level seats, they left. But everybody else stayed. I mean, the common fans stayed.
All right, now let me talk a little bit about the Yankees-Red Sox rivalry and what I deduced from watching a few innings of this in the stands. It was fun to hear both teams give it back and forth, both sides give it back and forth to each other. And cheers of Yankees suck, Red Sox suck, New York sucks, Boston sucks. And then at one point, it sounded like they started chanting, both teams suck.
I heard that.
Did you hear that?
Yes, I did. I thought it was Boston at first, but then I started listening, and both teams suck.
Yeah, that was actually louder than any other one throughout the day. But you know what it seemed like to me? I think this Yankees-Red Sox thing is more of a one-way thing, and I think it's more of a Boston thing than a New York thing.
Well, it's like the Eagles and the Cowboys.
Exactly.
I mean, the Cowboy fans, they could care less about the Eagles. The Cowboys have scoreboard. They've won Super Bowls. What have the Eagles ever done? Nothing.
Yeah, I mean, the Cowboy fans just don't get worked up over when the dreaded and feared comes here. But, boy, you go up to the city of brotherly shove.
And that drives them crazy.
Yeah.
Just kind of like the Yankees don't get all worked up over the Red Sox.
Yeah.
And it just kills the Red Sox fans.
You know, I was up in Boston last summer for a Red Sox-Mets game. And, you know, that's probably quite a bit different from Red Sox-Yankees. But it was still Boston-New York. And those people in Fenway were very worked up over that. They got into a major tizzy just over the Mets. So I'm kind of thinking that this is a one-way thing between Boston and New York. And it's all directed from there to New York.
You won't find very many more knowledgeable are passionate baseball fans than the Red Sox fan in Fenway.
No, you won't.
And you can go ahead and include Yankee fans in Yankee Stadium in that assessment.
Yeah. All right, so anyway, the game ends, and we make our way back to the bus, and it's time to make our way back to the hotel. The game was very, very slow-moving, as most Mike Messina games are. Took about 3.5 hours, so by the time we get back to the hotel, we're not going to have just a whole lot of time. And we will pause here and tell you about the bus ride back to the hotel, which was something in and of itself. 4:30 on Sports Radio 1310, the ticket, the hard line, out here at the one stop where, once again, gas, unleaded, $1.39 a gallon. Try to find that out there.
You're not
going to
do it.
So come up here to
One Stop.
Yes, to One Stop in the colony. And take advantage of that, by all means. Here is Mark with the ticket ticker.
Mavericks are not down at all after that 2-point loss to Utah on Saturday. Still plenty of confidence, they feel, as they pick up a win tonight. Now we get them a split in Utah. That's all they probably expected anyway. Not only would a win tonight mean a split in the first two games on the road against the Jazz, but it also means they avoid what would be a big problem. That's falling behind 0-2. Here's Sean Bradley.
Well, it's real hard to beat the Utah Jazz three times in a row. I mean, that would be very difficult. So, yeah, we've got to win a game in Utah. In order to have as good a chance as we can get to win the series, we've got to get one up there. Because beating them three times in a row is extremely difficult.
Check out the game tonight. It'll be on Talk Radio 570 KLIF at 9:30. Sixers and Pacers also play tonight. That's in Philly as the Sixers try to get it back to even up a game apiece after a loss on Saturday. The man accused of sexually assaulting his sister, Knicks star Marcus Camby, and holding three members of Camby's family hostage has been ordered held on $1.5 million bond. 28-year-old Troy Crooms of Hartford was charged with kidnapping, first-degree sexual assault, burglary, and possession of a weapon following an 8-hour standoff at Camby's mother's house yesterday. Rangers are in Toronto tonight. Doug Davis draws the start in the opener of this quick two-game set. And the Sports Radio 1310, the ticket business ticker, is brought to you by Superior Leasing. Another off day on Wall Street with the Dow down 78 points to 10,454 and the NASDAQ down 42 points to 2016. That's the ticket ticker. And I'm Mark Folliwell, reminding you to see Howie Mandel, Arsenio Hall, and more at the Big Joke that Saturday at Smirnoff Music Center. Call for tickets, 214-373-8000.
Sports Radio 1310. Ticket to ticket.
Hey, Kevin Blandford from the Hot Sauce.
Hey, Robinson also.
Be sure to join us tonight, 7 to 11 at 7:15 tonight. Mavs getting ready for Game 2, the most important playoff game in 11 years. We'll break that down and see if they can steal one in Utah.
Yeah.
And the Dallas Cowboys quarterback.
That's one of our favorites from the guy we just called the generic announcer. And a classic right before that from former Cowboy Dixon Edwards, the incredible You Know. I think the Hardline spent about 6 weeks one season trying to find some other sports personality that could top Dixon's performance, but nobody could beat an unprecedented 30-something You Knows in 38 seconds. I am the OD, Officer of the Drops, and this is the Tickets Drop Page Radio. An excerpt from the fake Rolling Stones coming up after this from Ribby Paltz.
Ladies and gentlemen, the new spokesman for Clamato Tomato.
And I'm Mr. Sports Fan. This is Remy Pop, and I'm here to tell you about something you're going to love. My new sponsor, Clamato Tomato Juice.
Clamato Tomato Juice.
I just said that. Now, there's two things I love, tomato juice and funny names. That's why Clamato Tomato is perfect.
Clamato Tomato.
Clamato Tomato is tomato juice with style. I liked it so much, I wrote a jingle.
Clamato Tomato is the juice I love. Every time I say the name, I hear the voice above. I like it better than a Falcon Crest. Because Clamato Tomato is the best.
Come on, Giorgio.
Clamato Tomato is the juice I love. Every time I say the name, I hear the voice above. I like it better than a Falcon Crest. Because Clamato Tomato is the best.
Yes, Junior Man.
Tomato, tomato.
Tomato, tomato. Tomato juice with style. Made by itself, but great for making your favorite adult beverage. Pick it up at your local grocery store. And remember.
Tomato, tomato is the best.
Yeah.
Ticket Drop Page Radio.
Smarter and harder than so fast. The blonde model, but she's white trash. From the skate, she's from the skate, from the skate, hey. She's ranked eight, from the skate, hey. She's from the skate, from the skate. I can't be made.
That's nice.
The Tickets Drop Page Radio. It's what we do on the internet while the local broadcast listeners are being enticed by our fine sponsors. I am the OD, Officer of the Drop. And this is the Tickets Dunham & Miller talking to the Tonight Show's Jay Leno.
Say, you know, I like being a comedian. I never wanted to be a TV personality, you know. I mean, I remember when I first started the show, when we weren't doing that well, people would say, you know, I don't particularly care for you, but I like your jokes. Oh, okay, fine. That's fine with me.
Do you still have a relationship with Letterman at all? Do you still talk?
Well, again, I'm heterosexual. So
not that,
you know,
kind of relationship.
I realize for people in radio, it's a little more incestuous.
Yeah, it's a little weird. Poor mound conditions. Sure is.
Drop, radio. The Ticket Drop Page Radio.
Rick and Corby. Rick and Corby. Rick and Corby. They're talking sports and maybe a little golf. Their 2 hour show is the wheels off. They feel good in a special way. Rick and Corby show is really gay. Rick and Corby. Rick and Corby. Rick and Corby.
Her grill's all jacked up.
The Tickets Drop Page Radio. You can hear more statements like that last one from Kevin Blanford on The Hotspot with his partner David Robinson also for his weeknights on The Ticket. And look for more Hotspot drops on the drop page at theticket.com. I'm the OD, Officer of the Drop, and you can use the link on the drop page to email me with your comments about the Drop Page Radio or your suggestion for a future drop. The Fight Doctors, Fake Al Gore, Fake Greggo, and Jerry Jones yet to come. But first, let's find out from Doc Morgan, who loves you, the P1?
Jub Jub.
Black history comes alive. Reliving classic African-American moments.
Marion Barry, caught with crack cocaine.
Police, put your hands up!
Oh, ain't this about a...
This has been another classic African-American moment. Thank you for listening.
The Tickets Drop Page Radio. The Tickets Drop Page Radio. The Tickets Drop Page Radio.
Da-da-la-dee-da-da. Please, Mr. Linesman, let the players fight. 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 Let them 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 fight.
Platinum level seats at the new American Airlines Center. Log on to AmericanAirlinesCenter.com or call 214-221-TEAM today.
Doing the car. Here's the next break.
All right, guys, in Dallas, on Central headed south before LBJ, there's an accident in the right lane. It's causing problems from Spring Valley. On westbound LBJ, there's a wreck on the shoulder at Marsh. And then there's another one at Josie. All of that is going to slow the pace back from the tollway. In Hutchins, there's a car in the left lane on southbound 45 at Wintergreen. Brake lights there back from Dowdy Ferry. And in the town of the Cow, there's a smash-up with a cement mixture. It's in the way on northbound 35 under Hattie. Doing the cars with the tickets. Pick it up your tailpipe traffic. I'm Nikki Granville.
The Dallas Mavericks playoff postgame show tonight, right after the Mavs and Jazz on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
.438, you're on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket, the hard line out here at the One Stop today. The One Stop in the Colony on 121. So come on out here. Get some Dickie's Barbecue, get some Taco Bell Express. Get gas, get stuff.
In that order?
Yeah, in that order.
Might I tease one more time what's coming up at 5:15?
Surely.
5:15, we have the Dallas Cowboys, their brand-new marketing plan, because season ticket sales are lagging. And so they sent the ticket over there.
Cowboys, Cowboys, Cowboys.
Their new marketing campaign. Their commercials, basically. And they're just... I don't know if they fit.
The headlights.
What?
What the hell was that?
Oh, no, I thought we were going to have the first ever layout on Doc Morgan.
What was that? Anyway, so at 5:15, we'll break that out. Brand new marketing campaign for the Cowboys.
All right, we must continue with our New York trip.
The headline.
We're coming back from Yankee Stadium after the game now, which was won by the Red Sox. Yankee fans are all very disappointed. Now, we got there going down Madison Avenue, which is one way going north. And coming back south, you go down Fifth Avenue.
Which you always hear that Fifth Avenue is like the hoity-toity, and it is. But there's a bad part of Fifth Avenue.
Yeah, there is. And when you go through the Harlem end of Fifth Avenue, that's pretty much where it is. But then you start hitting the Museum District, and boy, what do you think some of those spreads around that area must go for?
Millions.
Where were you picking up 1,400 square feet for $3.8 million? Was that just random places in New York?
Yeah, that was just, I was just reading, but that's just one that I saw. And it was right in the heart of Manhattan on Fifth Avenue. 1,400 square feet, two bedroom, two bath, $3.8 million.
And boy, I tell you what.
But you know what? The $12 and $15 million apartment is very common.
And I'll bet we drove by some of them down there on Fifth Avenue around those museums and stuff.
Well, we drove by the Dakota. We drove right by it.
We did?
Yeah.
Why did you tell me?
I don't know.
That's right by Central Park.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we went right by Central Park. See, now, that's one place in New York I've never been. Central Park. That's as close to it as I've ever gotten, pretty much. Anyway, we get back to the hotel. We got about an hour and a half until... it's time to head over to the HBO World headquarters and check out the movie. So we just kick back for a little while and then get dressed. And
well, actually, we were laughing at Cowboy draft strategy.
Right. We tuned in the draft and checked out what the Cowboys were up to. It was right about then when they were doing their big trade down, trade back up, and then take Quincy Carter, who they could have gotten at anywhere along the line when all that was coming down. And you know, like everybody, we were just aghast at all that. Just couldn't believe it. So it's time to go over to the movie now. And we walked over there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we did walk over there.
But 12 blocks is what it was.
To the HBO World headquarters. Now, they're having this gathering of everybody who's going to be there prior to the screening of the movie. And all the radio blowhards were there. And
it was a fun walk, though.
Oh, it was a great one.
Because it's right up the Avenue of the Americas.
Yeah,
6th Avenue.
Walk. So we get up there, and in attendance at that was Danny Mantle, Mickey's son, and various members of the Maris family, including the son, Kevin Maris, who, if you recall the hoopla surrounding the Mark McGwire record-breaking a couple of years ago, that is the Maris son, who is an absolute spitting image of Roger. Remember him?
I couldn't believe when he walked by, I thought...
Do you guys remember who I'm talking about?
I do, yeah.
When he walked by, I couldn't believe what I was seeing.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at him, you're looking at Roger when Roger was his age.
But then again, Danny Mantle looks a lot like Mickey.
Yeah, too. He does. But, I mean, this is just eerie how much Kevin Maris looks like Roger. And then Billy Crystal came up there, but he kind of stayed off to a area all by himself, and you had to be kind of authorized to get next to him, so we really couldn't do that. And I didn't want to whip him anyway.
But a lot of those people did, though.
Yeah, some of those people were whipping him. I was determined
I wasn't going to do that.
Yeah. And there was really one of the main objects of curiosity is there was this guy there who was about the approximate age of a guy who might have been on the 61 Yankees. And he had on a big old Yankees ring, too. And everybody was trying to figure out who that guy was. All the radio blowhards, including me, were just absolutely convinced that this was a player. This was a guy who was a teammate of Mantle and Maris on the 61 Yankees. Except nobody could figure out who it was. Now, I remember all those. I'm old, and I'm one of the few in the crowd there that night. old enough to remember that whole thing and remember that team and remember what they all looked like, and I couldn't place him.
You remember Bob Serve and all that?
Sure. And come to find out, it was not a player at all. It was just a friend of the ball club who had been given the ring by Torrey somewhere along the way. So, anyway, after that, they herded us into the studio. It's time for the movie to start. Billy Crystal got up there and made a few remarks about, you know, just the making of the whole thing and the filming of it and just how it all came together for him and what it all meant to him. He was very amusing in that Billy Crystal way.
Well, the funny part about it was he's up there and, you know, there were probably, what, maybe 50 people in attendance?
Yeah, thereabouts.
And all of a sudden, a cell phone rings. Somebody had their cell phone on. And he immediately says, hey, you need to turn off your cell phone. And he said it kind of sternly a little bit. And then he figured out what he did.
He was a little annoyed by that.
Yeah, which he should have been. I mean, you shouldn't have your cell phone in there to begin with. But then I think he thought about what he did, and then he immediately went into shtick.
Yeah, he picked up his cell phone, took it out of his pocket, started
acting like he was talking to somebody.
Talking to that person whose cell phone just rang.
It was pretty funny.
It was very funny. I think he's a funny guy anyway.
I think anything Billy Crystal does is just hilarious to me anyway.
Yeah, he's great. There's no question about it.
Including My Giant.
Well, I don't know about that.
Everybody has their hits and misses.
Yeah, we all have them.
I mean, Tom Hanks, I believe he did Joe versus the Volcano, didn't he?
And Turner and Hooch.
Billy Crystal has made some crapper movies.
Well, look at all the greatness he's turned out.
I know. He's done...
He got his hits and misses like everybody else. Hey, you know what? Steve Martin's got his, too. Show me one guy out there that doesn't.
And I believe Marlon Brando did The Freshman.
Russell Crowe.
Oh.
He'll have a crappy one coming up. He's got one in the making.
We'll see.
All right, let's skip talking about the movie and devote a little bit of the next hour to that. And skip now to the post-gathering. After the movie was over, they get us back on the bus and take us over to Mickey Mantle's. Mickey Mantle's restaurant. Now, this is the place where, when we were up there in 96 for the Rangers' first foray into the playoffs, we were doing noon to four then, and that's where we did the show from. And it was fun to be back there again, wasn't it?
Yeah, because it's right there on Central Park West, right across from Central Park. Just an unbelievable location. Now, I guess you could call this a sports bar, but not really. I mean, it's like a real restaurant. I mean, it doesn't have the regular sports bar food.
No.
I mean, it's a restaurant.
Does the Mantle family own that?
I think they just receive a percentage of it. They sold the Mickey sold the naming rights. Danny was telling me about that.
And anyway, you know, some of the luminaries from the other gathering hung out over there for a while and had a little discussion with another one of the Maris sons, which...
Well, you sought him out.
I did seek him out.
I mean, you got to the HBO chick and said, hey, I want to talk to somebody from the Maris family.
I did. I mean, by that time, I was just absolutely determined that I was not going to get out of there with a few words from somebody from the Maris family. What? I mean, you...
Yeah,
you had a little visit with Danny Mantle.
Yeah,
you both did.
Yeah, I was whipping on
you
him.
You were whipping him pretty good.
I was whipping him pretty good because he's like a Harley guy, and he was telling me about this Harley Davidson that he had custom made. Chronicles Mickey's career.
Really?
Yeah, he's got like pictures on it. I mean, he's going to bring it to one of the remotes. He promised me he was going to ride that after one of our remotes.
What did you want to talk to the Maris kid about, Michael?
I just wanted to talk to him about that. You know, just what he thought of it. Did he think that was an accurate portrayal of his dad? And just, I don't know, the whole thing. So I sought him out. He was kind of sitting over in a part of the restaurant all with his wife. They were all by themselves. And I just walked over there and started thrashing, man.
Greg, I'm surprised.
They encouraged that. They wanted you to go and talk to everybody.
Yeah, they did. They did.
Did you contest the actual Roger Maris death with his immediate family, Grego?
What?
That it didn't happen in 1985?
The actual date of death?
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I did.
Okay.
Yeah. Kevin Maris didn't appreciate that too much. But anyway, we hung around there and did that
great
for a while.
Great food.
Yeah, it was great food. It was just a great day all around, wasn't it?
I had a blast.
Yeah.
It was.
And then after that, the rain had stopped, so we just walked back to the hotel. And after that, I still couldn't give it up, so I went over to Times Square for a little while, walked around there, and got back in at 3 o'clock in the morning. That put the cap on a great day.
Wow. That's a cool place.
It really is.
I mean, it really is. And, you know, the people at HBO, and they know how to promote their events. I mean, they know how to do it because there are so many moving parts involved in something like this. And there was not one hitch at all.
No.
Everything was just came off perfect.
So thank you, HBO.
Okay.
Thank you, HBO, and thank you, New York City, and we love you all. Yeah, good luck to New York, too. 4:50 here on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. What do you want to do next? You want to stop down for some e-news or what?
You guys want to review this movie?
Yeah, why don't you discuss the film since you're on a roll?
Well, I mean, you want to do the bit at 5, so...
No, we can do the bit at 5:15.
We've been plugging the bit at 5:15.
Yeah. You've been drinking.
Or maybe you thought that the marketing ploy of the Cowboys was real.
Well, actually, I did.
Okay, all right.
Wow.
All right, we'll reconnoiter, figure out what we're going to do next. Right now, here's the Ticket Ticker.
That, folks, you just witnessed a senior moment. We are brought to you this time by K-Star Channel 49, where the Mavs play the Jazz tonight at 9:30. And it's going to be a late one tonight in Salt Lake City as the Mavs look for that Game 2 victory that would even up the series at 1-1. Steve Nash sees his team taking positives out of a 2-point loss in Game 2.
No, obviously, after Game 1, we're more experienced. And hopefully we can use that experience that we gained in Game 1 to be better in Game 2.
The Jazz may not have John Starks tonight. The guard spent Sunday night in the hospital with stomach pains. We heard yesterday he was cleared to play, but now he's a question mark for tonight. Mavs could use some bench scoring in this game. They got all of 2 points on Saturday from the bench of Isley Booth and Mark Bryant. Philly and Indiana also play tonight, Game 2 in that series as well. The Pacers winning Game 1 with a late Reggie Miller 3. Rangers send Doug Davis to the hill tonight. Davis is 2-1 with a 4.76 ERA and 3 starts as he meets the Blue Jays in Toronto in a series opener. Jays are pretty good at home, too. They're 7-3. New coach at Wake Forest, coaching their hoops program, it will be Skip Prosser of Xavier. I know you are all waiting with bated breath to hear that news. And that's the Ticket Ticker. I'm Mark Followell, reminding you to remember the time you spent listening to the Hardline late afternoons.
Imagine sinking into the cushion of a brand new seat. Cold beer in one hand, fresh hot dog in the other. You're inside the brand new American Airlines Center. Stars, Mavs, American Airlines, and the Ticket puts you there. Listen for your name tomorrow morning at 7:20. Oops. Hockey, hookah. I got the hookah, hook it up, hook it up. I got the hookah, hook it up, hook it up. I got the hookah, hook it up.
You know, a bad feeling in your life is when you're at a party or a function and your wife looks over and she's staring at some girl's ring that she just got, an engagement ring. Then you walk over to the guy who gave her that ring. What, Kevin? No, I'm not doing it, Kevin. Then you go over to the guy who gave her that ring and you ask him how much that ring costs. And he tells you it was about $5,000 cheaper than the one you bought. Shut up. I don't want to talk to a monkey, all right? Well, you're not going to ever get that feeling if you buy that ring at Barry Zales Fine Jewelry. Barry Zales Jewelry is located at 6121 Luther Lane, Preston Center. That's Northwest Highway and Preston Road. That is because Barry is the genuine deal. He's the most honest diamond salesman there is, and that's rare in that business. He's very trustworthy, won't rip you off. He'll sit you down, he'll teach you about diamonds. The four C's, cut, color, clarity, and carat. He'll make sure you know all about those four C's. Okay, hardline monkey, hang on. I'll get to you in just a second.
Oh, yeah, I hear you.
It's Barry Zale Fine Jewelry, once again located 6121 Luther Lane. That's
For real, so make us forget the Bank for Sosa deal.
And we're proud to say that this is our team. A Rod's in for Royce, this must be a wet dream.
$250 million, that's a lot of dough, like one of those alimonies for all of his hoes.
We'd like to say thank you to Mr. Hicks. He's got a 12-pounder, a major league.
A big one.
Gigantic.
The Ticket's